Well, hi everyone. Grateful to be here. Grateful to share again. Little nervous. I don't do this that often. I have Megan here to help me with the technology. And we're on the Cape. It's a beautiful day. And Megan's going to help me with this. You can do the first song and we'll take the rest of the songs from there, Don. Okay? So at this time, we're going to put the song on and we're going to greet each other, I guess, right? And I'm going to let go of the mic.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Again, nice to see everybody on the chats, and good morning to everyone. We have a statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth. We also have our five core values. And the core value that I picked today that aligns with my homily is core value 3. And that reads, we accept one true self, which is one presence of being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And now I'm going to turn this the announcements. Okay, the announcements. I have some announcements. I got them from Regina during the week, and they are: the next three retreats coming up at the Awakening Together Retreat House in La Vida are Freedom from the Judge Retreat, July 12th through the 14th, led by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert. At this three-day retreat, you will learn to identify the eternal judge, which is nothing more than a cluster of ideas, standards, and beliefs. And you will see how the internal judge unconsciously directs your actions, your attention, and your aspirations. You'll also see clearly that the judge is not your voice, and learn how hearing this voice as something other than you is helpful in the awakening process. This retreat is $120. It's upcoming. It's coming up soon. So if you haven't registered yet, register soon. Next, we have the Nature and Natural Meditation Retreat, which is coming up on July 22nd through the 26th. This is led by Regina Dawn Akers. At this five-day retreat, you will learn to focus on the I am presence to the exclusion of all else, as taught by Nisargadatta Maharaj. You will determine the difference between the I am presence and the ego, and you will observe how your ego attempts to distract you from the I am presence. Much of this retreat will occur outdoors in beautiful Colorado. The retreat fee is $200. Then we have another one, Releasing the I Am Bad Belief, August 12th through the 16th, Monday, led by Reverend Regina Dawn Akers. This retreat was just recently added to the schedule. Regina thought it would be helpful to add a retreat that focuses solely on letting go of the I am bad belief. This belief, also known as guilt and unworthiness, is the primary cause of stress, annoyance, anger, jealousy, and other types of mental and emotional suffering. If you release this one belief, your life will be happier, and you will feel much freer. The retreat fee is $200. You can learn more about these three retreats and others, and you can register for the retreats by going to awakeningtogether.org, retreats and classes, and then look under retreats at the retreat house. If you're a member of Awakening Together, you should have received your ballot to vote for two people to the member board of trustees. Ballots were sent out through the mail last Tuesday. Tonight, join us at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, for a special member meeting where you will have the opportunity to meet all four nominees. The meeting will be recorded, so if you're unable to attend live, listen to the recording later and then vote. You'll have until 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on July 9th to complete your ballot. If you are a member and you did not receive a ballot, or if you lost the email with the link to the ballot, write to Regina at awakening-together.org to request a ballot. And that's it for the announcements. And now I'm going to turn it over to my
Resident DJ.
Megan.
We have two short songs.
Can't use it anymore. knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Mama put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door.
Okay, back again. Father, I rest in you today, that I may employ your Holy Spirit, that he may be in charge of all my thoughts, my feelings, and my words, that he may take my words and manicure them, find the customized ears for them to follow, and to use them as their perception to themselves will find new balance, new beyondness, and new togetherness. We are all here together, Father, in this one box, all of us, including spiritualized ego. It gets crowded at times, and we need your help, all of us, your guidance to lead us out into that nothingness, that space, beyond your guarding and beyond all, to know that I am all. Thank you. Amen. Okay. And now I am going to turn the mic over to my reader, who's going to read The Path of Evolutionary Enlightenment. And this is Meg Reinhart.
All right. Hey, everyone. Hi, family. So we're reading from an article written by this fellow named Andrew Cohen, and it was written in 2011, and it's The Path of Evolutionary Enlightenment, from minus one to zero to plus one. Enlightenment means consciousness beyond ego, and evolution means development in time. So evolutionary enlightenment means the development in time of consciousness beyond ego. The path, in the context of evolutionary enlightenment, is, at least in theory, quite simple. It is a journey from identification with the ego to identification with the evolutionary impulse. It is a radical transformation of our relationship to the human experience from one that is fundamentally negative, narcissistic, compulsive, and rigid, to one that is inherently positive, liberated, consciously creative, and perpetually evolving. In an evolutionary context, the expression of the enlightened or liberated self is perpetual development in time. So if the individual is not developing in a measurable and discernible way, that means that he or she is staggering in the emotional and psychological prison of an unenlightenment that is the individual and collective ego. So ego in this context is defined as inertia, an anti-evolutionary posture of narcissism and self-concern that is based upon the conviction, conscious or unconscious, that something is fundamentally, is terribly, terribly wrong. It is because of our unquestioned identification with the negative orientation of the ego that most of us find ourselves unable to consistently express the freedom, lightness of being, and ecstatic positivity that is the quality of the evolutionary impulse, which I call the authentic self. And it is because of identification with the ego that so few of us are able to spiritually evolve in a truly significant way. A simple equation I often use to describe the path of evolutionary enlightenment is that it is a journey from minus one to zero to plus one. I refer to the ego's relationship to a life as minus one because it is fundamentally negative, and the path of transformation, reduced to its simplest terms, is the shift from the ego's negative relationship to life to the authentic self's positive relationship to life, which I call plus one. but it's not possible to make this profound transition in one simple step. To go directly from a relationship to life that is negative, narcissistic, compulsive, and rigid, to a relationship that is positive, liberated, consciously creative, and perpetually evolving. In an enlightenment context, as a first step, we always have to go to zero, which means to assume no relationship to life, mind, and time. Only then do we discover the freedom of enlightenment and ultimately how to freely choose what a right relationship to life would be. Zero means no relationship whatsoever. You leap from something to nothing, from the manifest to the unmanifest, from the individual and collective ego to the ground of all being. In that groundless ground that has never entered into the stream of time, the burden of existence falls from your shoulders, and you are released from the entire process of becoming. So when you go back to zero, you don't have any problems to overcome. Ego is the conviction that you have a problem and that there is something fundamentally wrong. But when you experience zero, no relationship, you realize in a flash that that was never true. Profoundly liberated from the ego and its unending self-concern, you reemerge from that primordial emptiness, ready to be a vessel for the original creative impulse, the authentic self, bursting with ecstatic urgency and a fearless passion to become. So, the goal in evolutionary enlightenment is for the individual, through the power of conscious choice, to shift his or her fundamental locus of identification from the ego to the evolutionary impulse or authentic self. And the only way for that to happen is to take the heroic journey from -1 to 0 to +1, from a negative relationship to life to no relationship to life to a positive relationship to life, from inertia to emptiness to the evolutionary impulse, from ego to no self to the authentic self. The journey begins when we recognize the prison of ego, then leads to its dissolution in the ground of all being, and finally to our reemergence as a liberated, perpetually evolving expression of the authentic self, standing strong and fearless. That's the path of development in the teaching of evolutionary enlightenment.
Thank you. Thank you, Megan. Great read. It's so important for readers to be clear. And I really heard that today. You know, how far we've come, you know, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself, and it's not going to be much. It's just a little bit, you know, and how I got here, you know. I got here because Megan wanted to be here. Okay.
Awakening
together. I mean, Megan became my sponsee, and through a series of events, I knew, you know, she was young in recovery, and I knew she wasn't getting the AA program, but she was getting Regina's Luke 4 as I was picking her up in the mornings and driving her to an AA meeting, and she really, really grasped onto that. So she kind of learned the AA program in reverse. She learned Regina's stuff for us, and then she applied it to the AA program, and I did it the opposite way. So, but about me, and most people like me, I was curious because I can definitely speak to extreme addicts, and I can identify, and I have a, and then in the middle, I have a problem with, I cannot reach, and I've helped so many people in my journey, you know, that I can say that I've gotten my 12 to help, okay, and that have lived with me and moved on and have had successful lives, and but I cannot reach the person that didn't get to zero. So when I saw this, that bypass, and it's not that I do it, you know, I do it, and you know, and I do it, and then you know, and being miracle ready, most of us came here through the Course in Miracles and learning how to be miracle, you know, to learn how to turn lemon into lemonade. You know, and I talked about that the last time I was here. But, you know, of bypassing zero, you know, sometimes, you know, because, you know, I'm living in the world and I bypass zero because, you know, I've got sucked in by spiritual ego, spiritualized ego. I got sucked in. You know, I got sucked in, and then I bypass the zero. It's like a drive-through because I'm living in the world, and I don't totally get what, you know, and it's just enough to feed me to get through my normal day. But if I gave the time to go from minus one to zero, and to sit in zero, and to sit in absolute nothingness. And I mean, I've got some readings in from, you know, Nisargadatta and the Supreme Yogi and all that, and that I want to bring to the point that, you know, where they come, you can almost see that they are just right there, you know, and it's comical. But, you know, my short story was that I probably came down from minus 100, okay, to get to minus one. And but in my journey of going the wrong way, and you know, and I, well, like when I was in school, everything was, you know, everything was to achieve and to become and to accumulate. And it was always feeling this emptiness that I had, okay? In this emptiness and darkness, you know, that I kept on feeding, I knew, I had an innate intuition that knew that horizontal was not the way to go. But because I was on the negative side of the fence, I had tools to find the infinite in darkness. So my vertical was down and it wasn't up, okay? But the one thing that came out of it was that I got I learned how to become one-pointed and to focus. And I did that in a negative way. So when I often hear when Jesus says, you know, you and I are the same. The only thing difference between me and you is that I think of my father all the time. So I said to, you know, when I sit back and I go, wow, he must have been an addict to do something like that. Okay. I mean, this, you know, he's had to be. Okay. So, oh, this is this is about my I am. Okay. And so this infinite darkness that I had developed and I learned so much from through the discernment process, through the step four process, through Byron Katie's process, through my own process, through teaching what I had to learn, and then here we are in a Sunday gathering, tearing down walls, of what I know, with spiritual aspirations, even spiritual aspirations. I'm going to use this word pickle, and in recovery, the common phrase is, once you're a pickle, you can never become a cucumber again. Okay, so once it happens to everyone that's an addict, that once they go over a line, there's no returning. You need a power greater than yourself to come back. In other words, the tools don't work anymore. So, we get into this discernment thing, which is awesome. Okay, and then we get these spiritual aspirations and we find these, when we first arrive, we have no opposite. Okay. But as we get to live in this box, and then we start to, it's fresh and it's not knowing. And then as we start to know, and then we start to know, and then we start to know, and then this, all of a sudden we're pushed up against the wall, all of us, spiritualized ego, and we're all against the wall. And now this spiritual aspiration, the walls have to be pushed back. There's no more room. Okay, we have to find a new box. And we find a new box. And we find a new aspiration. And Megan, I lost the thing here. I hope you guys can still hear me. Am I still being, okay, good. All right. So I get to this new box because my spiritual aspiration has pickled. It can't work anymore. And now I have a new box, and I can't bring my old tools to my new box. And this process goes on and on and on. And so my spiritual aspiration in my North Star, was I wanted to want with God. And I wanted to, I wanted to want what God wanted. Okay. So that got me to my bridge that I talked about last time, I was trained in early recovery that, I had a sponsor, and he said, Billy, I'm at this threshold. I know that there is eternal bliss on the other side of this door. He says, but I can help more people if I keep one foot in and one foot out. So I got to that place in about my fourth year in recovery. And I stood there and I made fun of it last time. Like I had a lemonade stand turning lemon into lemonade and all that stuff. But anyway, I feel like I'm slowly getting drawn in now. With what we're learning and what we're unlearning and this life's vital force that even my ideas of God, my ideas of Godding, my ideas of just everything where they're on, that it changed. My aspiration changed at that moment where service became more important than going in. And I felt, that service was my North Star and became my aspiration. And I have done that for a while. And now, again, I am here. I am here in this place where the godding, even the godding has gotten me, you know, has brought me right there. And this life's vital force is just pushing me along. And, you know, even my resistance gets tired. Okay. And I see my resistance and it gets tired. And that's where, you know, I'm slowly getting pushed into another zero. Okay. This zero of nothingness that I've so resisted for a while. And, you know, I've done it, you know, I've done this minus one to plus one, and I've passed zero many times to live in this world, you know, and the world will, you know, the world will, you know, it's like I was talking to Megan last night, it's like biting an orange. I'm going to bite an orange and I'm going to know what biting an orange is going to be like. Okay. The way it's going to burst into my mouth and it's going to, the way I'm going to swallow it and the way I'm going to taste it and wash it around. And then I'm going to just swallow it and feel the vibrant flavors that it has. Or I'm going to be someone that can talk about it and talk about the flavors and talk about how it's supposed to be and what it's going to be and what it's going to taste like and be very influential. So yes, do I do that when I go from minus one to plus one? Yeah, I do that. I do that because I did not give zero its time. You know, we get to that, you know, we get to that place. You know, there's a place in us that is so comforting that there is nothing to worry about. And then all of a sudden, that's the problem. Because there's nothing to worry about. Okay. That's the problem. And to stay there, that there's nothing to worry about, that I'm constantly being cared for. Take this last step, you know, it's yours. Stop resisting, go in, you know, be there. So I want to read some things from there's a couple things from Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss that caught my eye, you know, like the ego can create an argument against anything. So, you know, the ego's been coming with me for a while. I mean, we're companions. Okay. I mean, I can't, you know, it's there. Okay. And he's been dosed. He's spiritualized and he looks good. Okay. He's been, you know, he's coming along. He's all dressed up and he's coming along and he's, you know, he can definitely talk the talk, okay? And the ego always sets up standards for debate, just so the ego can always win the debate, okay? And I love that when I heard that, you know? And you know, we're at this place, I'm at this place, I'm sure you're there too, you know, that you know, you see your own resistance. I see my resistance. I see that I'm quickly glossing. I'm going from minus one to plus one, you know, and I bypass that complete, absolute surrender, you know, where there, you know, and what is that, you know? What is that? What is absolute surrender? You know, it's no, you know, what is the definition of no mind? You know, having no desire, no choice, you know, no preference. Now, even words, at this point, all sound the same. You know, they actually become the new canvas. How many times do we have to say that this is a this is a journey beyond words? All words and mind get off now. This is the last stop. Everybody off. No more words. No more. We're leaving now. And we're going beyond words to even surrendering my understanding. It doesn't apply anymore. We are in complete nothingness. You know, we've left opposites, opinions and all that. We've surrendered understanding, no mind, and to be there. And we have some readings from Nisargadatta in chapter 23. And the first paragraph, he goes, and this is the questionnaire in this one is absolutely brilliant. Okay. And we didn't get to read it in MPP, but I'm going through the book to read all of it. And he starts out by saying, you are all drenched. And I didn't I didn't think it as being rain, as he was looking at him, at the questioner, for it is raining hard. In my world, it is always fine weather. There is no night or day, no heat or cold. No worries beset me there, no regrets. My mind is free of thoughts, for there are no desires to slave for. So there were no desires to slave for. Isn't that everything? And then we get back, they banter back and forth, and then this is another part of this. He goes, the questionnaire is really getting under his skin, and you can see it. And then he hits him with this question. He goes, the questionnaire says, the very fact of your experiencing your own world implies duality inherent in all experience. And Nisargadatta just sits back and he goes, verbally, words, yes, but your words do not reach me. Mine is a non-verbal world. In your world, the unspoken has no existence. In mine, the words and their contents have no being. In your world, nothing stays. In my world, nothing changes. My world is real, while yours is made of dreams. Now, I wouldn't have been able to answer that. he was definitely grounded. You know, you hear people that when you hear people and you know they're there. I mean, you know, when you listen to Eckhart Tolle and he's coming from a place that you know he's there. Okay. You know that he knows that there's nothing to worry about. Okay. And that's not the problem, but that is my problem because there is nothing to worry about. Anyway, so now the questioner gets cute. He's really getting cute here. And he goes, it seems you're as if you're all alone in your world. And Maharaj comes back and says, how can you say alone? Are not alone when words do not apply. Of course I'm alone, for I am all. The questioner comes back and says, do you ever come into our world? He's really getting cute. Do you ever come into our world? And Maharaj comes back and he goes, what is coming and going to me? These again are words. I am, where am I to go, to come from, and where to go? Questionnaire comes back. Of what use is your world to me? And Maharaj comes back and says, you should consider more closely your world, your own world, and examine it critically. And suddenly, one day, you will find yourself in mine. So there we are again. There we are. There is a man, unshakable. Okay, we hear his unshakableness, you know. And he sits in absolute, he sits in that nothingness. I'm going to call it zero. I mean, you know, Dr. Martin's got all these steps. And I, you know, and I found, you know, when he was speaking the other day, I was listening to Jay and I thought Jay was right on, you know, with what he was, you know, it's, I don't know where I'm going to land. If I'm going to end up in 4 to 12, it's not important. It's nothing to strive for. You know, if I'm at 3.5 or 2.5 and jump to 4 and 5, and it's, you know, that's not my, where I go is it's more important to travel well than to arrive. And if happiness and bliss are totally my North Star, you know, and in that nothingness that I am receiving the happiness and bliss, and I'm not manifesting that happiness and bliss, you know, it is, you know, I know I'm on the right track, you know. This world from going, you know, right now, when even the Course told us to throw the book away, you know, and in that, you know, that was a tough one for me. You know, here I am. I was so attached to the Course. And then when it, in lesson 189, and it just says, come into the open, my open arms, and just throw all my ideas away. All of them. And then see what happens. You know, there are, can you pull that up for me? The chest, you know, and then there was, you know, my morning. I want to thank Jacqueline and Connie for my mornings, because I definitely love their readings, and I wake up every morning and I listen to their reading. I'm on my way to an AA meeting in the morning, and sometimes I have a chance to write, but I definitely listen. I definitely do the Gentle Healing 3 readings and Jacqueline and Connie's readings. And on the way, when I get in the car, I put on Regina's NTI, and I was on Galatians. And we were talking, and she was in Galatians 4. I was listening to Galatians 4. And it was about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, you know, and we kind of, you know, if you don't know the story, I'll just give you a brief synopsis on it, and I'm not, it's just going to be my paraphrasing of how it affects me, and that, you know, Sarah was barren and she couldn't give children, and they wanted children, and God knew that they wanted children, and God and Abraham had great faith in God, and the outside pulls and of the world were pulling on both the couple, and Sarah surrendered her slave girl Hagar to her, to Abraham, to bear him a child. And she bore him a child, and during that time, God did come back and, I don't know, granted Sarah the ability to have a child, and they had a child, okay? And this was kind of like that minus one to zero to plus one kind of thing, where we didn't wait for God. We didn't wait for God. You know, there was a Tom Hanks movie, Castaway. And one of the lines in Castaway, when he got rescued, was that he said, "I didn't even have power over my own suicide. All I had was my breath, of listening to my breath and listening to my breath and knowing that the waves were going to get me there." Now, that was absolute zero. That was nothingness. That was complete, total surrender. Okay? And I don't know anyone that didn't cry in that movie, except maybe the Supreme Yogi. Okay? Okay. Which, oh, it's comical, because when I first got introduced to the Supreme Yogi in Seven Steps to Awakening, and I read this, the second one that he came out with, he goes, "All enjoyments in this world are deluded, like the lunatic's enjoyment of the taste of fruits reflected in a mirror. All the hopes of man in this world are consistently destroyed by time." So I said, this guy definitely lives alone, okay, and has, you know, has no feeling at all. But then, you know, as I start to evolve, then it starts to make more sense to me. But in the beginning stages of me peeking my head over that threshold of being in complete, the vastness of nothingness. You know, there was a TV series called Fringe. And it was another description of that surrender.
False God
that we, you know, the world, you know, all these false gods that we have in this world, you know. And it was called Fringe, and it was talking about the art of chess. And then I'm going to just read it because I have it pulled up here. He goes, "The board changes very slowly. The art is knowing when a piece is most valuable, and then, in that very moment, be willing to sacrifice it, like a spiritual aspiration that's pickled, like a knowing that we've come to know that all these points, these arrows that we've had to get us into our, you know, get us so far away from that negative, so we can have the possibility of having a better choice, and now to have no choice." Okay. And so then it says, "For in the vacuum that is created by the loss of what is most precious, opportunity abounds, influence maximized, and desire becomes destiny." And that whole switch, that whole gift of just letting go of the story, letting go of, you know, we did it in miracles, but now we're doing it with the world, and we're doing it with our senses, with our mind. What is so precious, and let go, and trust that let go. There's so much that I don't know. I listened to Dr. Martin, I had my resistance go up. My ego was right there, not seeing the whole picture, the whole room, and not seeing the service behind all of this. Here we are, another statistician that I got to listen to in 98 ways to say God and whatever it was, 98, whatever it is. So many rungs in the ladder when we can just let go. And who am I to judge that? That is helpful to a lot of people. To me, who goes from 100 to zero, it's difficult to listen to. Okay. But in that, just like me at that at the threshold of not wanting to go in to the journey beyond words, into that whole other room, that vastness, the vastness will comfort me and to teach and will not, I don't know if it'll teach me, because I don't know. I'm not gonna pretend to know. Okay. Do I have glimpses of being there? Yes. But they all report back to the mind. So how real can they be? I don't quite have that that conviction yet that Nisargadatta has he had a couple of other things. In the seven steps of awakening, there was something else I wanted to touch on. And this is also the Supreme Yoga. And he goes, the unreal alone dies. And it is the unreal that is a born again, apparently, in another body. Now, that's that minus one to plus one. So I don't know. Lately, that's been everywhere in my life, and I just wanted to share it with you today. So I see I'm running out of time. It's 11:15.
Do we play a song or listen to people?
Do we play a song or do we listen to people? And I need help because this is a different screen.
Play a song now, Billy.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, you play a song and allow people to contemplate everything you just said. And if they want to, Don also provides a link so they can donate.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Blue scarlet fleece changes you. blossoms from view, where you love like heaven, where your love like heaven, where your love like heaven. Lord, kiss me once more, fill me with song. Allah, kiss me once more, that I may, that I may. Where your love like heaven, and where my love like heaven. Colored sky above my name, colored sky rose come and sing. Azurian crimson, where you love like heaven, where you love like heaven.
So, I want to thank everyone for listening to me today. The only thing that I can say is the only thing that I know about Zero is that the things that I've given permission to touch me can't touch me there. You know? And that is... And in that... When that happens, that vacuum, that whole thing comes in, something comes in that just takes me away. And that's all I can talk about, because everything else is not for understanding. Okay, I'm going to let go of the mic.
If anyone wants to share.
Does anyone want to share?
I don't know if you can see me, and I'm on the phone, so I don't know how to raise my hand, but my hand's up. I just wanted to say that, what I really, really appreciated was I could hear your genuine contemplation in your sharing today. And I always love to hear genuine contemplation, which I got to say I hear here on the weekly gathering all the time. But sometimes you hear people parroting, you know what I mean? They're parroting what they've heard, and you can't feel a sense of genuine deep going within. And I could hear that genuine deep going within today. And, you know, one thing that occurred to me several times as you were speaking was our core values, you know, like everyone has their own spiritual intuition. And although this isn't in our core values in this wording, it, really the effect is everyone is allowed to walk their own way to the same destination. And that's what I heard in you today. And I'm deeply, deeply touched by that. And even as I listened to you, you know, I found contemplation happening within me. So there wasn't only your own contemplation, but there was inspiration coming out of that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you take God in, and then when you speak, God comes out, right? And so I just want to say I really deeply appreciate that you have stepped up. And, of course, Billy is going to be one of our regular weekly gathering ministers now. We're expanding. I think we have 10. And that's starting today. So thank you very much for everything you're doing. And that's all I have to say. Bye.
Thank you, Regina. That was great to hear. And would anybody else like to share? Just grab the mic because I can't see you.
Billy and Megan, this is Shauna. Sorry. I wanted to say also, I'm so inspired by your journey and your dedication to service. I also went into contemplation about service and about being empty and that total surrender that you must have gone into the moment you turned your life around and handed it over to God. That is so inspiring to me. I am definitely going to contemplate that all day long. Thank you, both of you, for a great message.
Thank you, Shauna. Well, does anybody else want to share before I go down in there? You know, the core values I find are just, they're absolutely, they had to come from that place. You know, when I read every one of them today, and I could have applied all of them to where we're going, you know, and how we're just, you know, we're all in this box that's, it's not even a box anymore because the walls are coming down, and however they're coming down for you is okay, you know, and whenever you bring with you and whatever you got to let go of, it's okay, you know, I can feel the crowdedness of my spiritualized ego, and you know, he's there. Okay, he's there. He's there, and I have to let him go, and I enjoy him at times. Okay, there's no question, I do enjoy him at times, and I get caught because I enjoy him at times because I do have a discernment regimen that I go through. I do have a fourth step. I do have columns that I have to answer to, you know, that I bring my resistance to that shows me that I am not, I've chosen a different path at that moment, you know. I've chosen a different, at that moment I'm, you know, that I am not, the quality of my life has changed and I could see it, you know, and it's how the world's reading back to me. So, anybody else have anything to share? Don, I'm going to hand the mic over to you and for the fellowship. And I think Jay's going to be coming up shortly. And I want to thank everyone today, once again, that I could feel everyone in the room. And that's important to me because that means you can feel me. So I'm going to let go. Thank you.